CBC Radio 1, 93.5 FM, London.
I'm Sheila Rogers. Sounds like Canada is in Regina this morning. Although we go next to one of our regular features on a Friday morning, the seven deadly sins. Ire, rage, fury, wrath. No wonder anger is one of the seven deadly sins. And this morning, Nora Young in Winnipeg discovers why she may be guilty of this one.
I'm a pretty sinful person. I've committed all of the sins that we've covered so far, but the one that really trips me up is anger. Don't believe me? Well, I mic'd myself riding to work one day on my bike, put this headphone mic around my neck just to test my level of bike rage, and I've got to admit, it was pretty scary.
Look at that idiot. Signal, why don't you, goof? Jesus. You know what I hate is these SUV drivers. And they're so f***ing sanctimonious, you know? Like, look at that guy.
You know, for a lot of people, myself included, I feel angry, but then I feel guilty and ashamed about being angry. We have such a complicated relationship to anger now. I was thinking about that on my bike ride.
Now we have all kinds of rules for getting angry. Be sure to express your anger. Don't bottle it up. For heaven's sakes, don't bottle it up. But don't be too aggressive either. Express your anger in a calm manner, but not too calm because that's passive aggressive. Oh, who's this idiot?
And that's why I'm heading off to the gym for this episode, because I think I need to work out a little stress.
Most of my anger manifests itself in frustrating moments when I read. Hit some kind of immovable force that I can't do anything about, and I get very angry about that.
But we're here at a downtown gym where people are voluntarily subjecting themselves to some intense physical activity. They're doing jumping jacks and they're working the boxing bag in a boxing class. And you know, it does look like a really good workout, but I suspect that part of the appeal is getting rid of a lot of that stress. I mean, this is right in a kind of urban office environment. I think a lot of people are just getting out their bad feelings about their bosses and stuff like that. And that's the thing. I mean, rage and wrath occupy a frightening place in our world and in our fears. I mean, we've got things like terrorism, assault, murder, political violence, all that. But on this episode of The Seven Deadly Sins, we're going to look at the anger in our own hearts, to the personal rage that I think we all have inside. It's a basic evolutionary drive to take what's yours and punish anyone who tries to take it from you. In fact, it lurks just below the surface of the most mild-mannered people. We have three normally calm folks to try and get in touch with their inner anger and vent that rage.
I'm a fairly easygoing, mild-mannered guy in his early 30s who...
Okay, I'd say generally I'm fairly reserved. I don't raise my voice with other people or really act out a lot.
Calm, cool, collected, nothing bothers me. I don't scream often, so this should be interesting.
It's weird because it's like, in a way, I'm kind of faking it, right?
Yeah, I
you know,
it's not as spontaneous. Obviously, I'm summoning it up. It's not already there, and I also think that it's not as intense.
But even
it might be as loud, but it's not as intense from the interior.
Emotionally, no, there's nothing emotional, because like I said, it's coming from the throat, it's not coming from the gut. It's not a natural scream, it's a forced scream, so there's no emotion behind it whatsoever. Strictly an exercise.
So, you can replicate what anger looks like to people outside, but you can't really duplicate that full body, deep in the belly sense of rage. part of the problem of dealing with anger is it's this really physical thing. I mean, look how we talk about it. We say our blood boils. He hit the roof. She had steam coming out of her ears. It's an explosive force. None of our sins, not even lust, is really physical like that. Okay, we all have anger and we need to express it. In fact, for some people, anger can be channeled as part of politics, or it can also fuel art. I asked Andrew Kaufman, my co-conspirator in the Seven Deadly Sins series, to find out about the art of anger.
In 1987, when I was just ending my teenage years, I had a lot of anger in me. So did Carrie North.
How do you explain that? I think that it's about that just sense of wanting to fight back against the whole world. I mean, the whole pushing all authority aside and that whole thing that teenagers go through. I didn't have a lot of outlets, so music was the one single thing that I turned to for sure.
Carrie and I met in first year university, and one of the ways we bonded was over an obscure indie rock band from Boston. This band was called The Pixies.
It seemed like you could just sort of live out your anger, kind of celebrate the aggression that you felt inside and the aggression around with everybody around you. You could kind of let yourself just go wild. It was really kind of about partying and purging than anything else, I think.
Now, I just had the chance to talk with Frank Black, who was the lead singer of the Pixies and is now lead singer of Frank Black and the Catholics. And I asked him about all that anger in those early Pixies songs. And Frank Black said it wasn't just about his anger.
Well, I mean, there's anger all around you, though. You can see it all around you and not necessarily even have it emotionally hurt you or anything. You can see it around you in a really, like, cartoony, kind of comical way, almost. People going, "Aah! I'm angry!" You know what I mean?
When I asked Frank Black about whether he was using his music as a way to vent his anger, this is what he said.
Frustrations? Don't we all have frustrations? You don't have to be an artist to be frustrated. It's like, well, I'm an artist, so I'm tormented. And it's like, well, everybody's tormented, right? Who isn't tormented?
But if everybody's tormented and frustrated and angry, why aren't we all just punching each other out all the time? Why aren't me and you and Carrie and Frank Black, for that matter, doing nothing but yelling and screaming and kicking?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, for example, I say I had a really bad day. But, I had that little thing I got to do at the end of the night. I'd come down to the club and play for an hour or two, right? It's always fun. I'm going, "Aah!" And, like, I am venting my anger or frustration or sadness or whatever, you know what I mean, that I've, cultivating all day. But I could also go chop wood, you know what I mean? And I might experience the same release, you know what I mean?
So it's about rock and roll and chopping wood. Just like for Carrie North, it's about gardening.
I was literally stomping on this spade. I was jumping on it and kicking it and jumping and pounding on this thing. And that felt really good, yeah. I'm a single mother of two children. Are you crazy? I have so much anger. But I think it's about aggression. You got to get some aggression out, that's for sure.
Back in 1987, when the Pixies were simply the coolest band in the world, getting my aggression out was so easy. It's not so easy anymore. My anger is more complicated somehow. Not so us versus them, but I still have anger. And it's still important to get that anger out. It's just as I've grown up, the way I do it is different. Whether it's Frank Black's stage show or Carrie North's vegetable garden, anger really is an energy within us. An anger that can be channeled either creatively or destructively.
Cease to resist, given my goodbye.
I'm Nora Young. I'm burning off a little stress here in the anger episode of the Seven Deadly Sins in my boxing class. Okay, but clearly, when you look at me and my bike rage, I'm not channeling my anger in a healthy way. When I suppress my anger, when I can't channel it through music or boxing, it gets perverted. And maybe one day the bottle just blows its top and you explode. And that's where a regular old anger becomes an actual sin.
Not when you're ticked off at someone who did you wrong, but when your response is completely out of proportion to what made you angry, when you crave vengeance, like with air rage.
He's a successful American businessman, but Gerard Finneran is better known as the poster boy for air rage. In 1996, he went berserk during a flight after he was refused another drink.
When I open the curtain, I see this gentleman sitting on a service cart, sitting down, with his pants down to his ankles, relieving himself.
That's something you'd be leaving off your resume, isn't it?
He came barreling through the a curtain into the galley, and he had one of the flight attendants by the tie, and he had another passenger by the neck. And he just came flying through, knocked the three of us to the ground.
What is it about being trapped in that metal box hurtling through the air that provokes fury?
Starting next week, if you get on a plane in Canada, you might be handed a pamphlet first, reminding you to behave yourself in the air.
Pamphlets, eh? Like that's going to help. Gee, I guess I better not get air rage after all. I know from my bike rage that it's that feeling of being a little cog in a wheel, of helplessness that gets you.
And I said, oh yeah? Well, I'll cut you off. And I had to speed up to cut her off close, which got me to about to here. And then when I cut her off, I knocked the fence.
It was an accident that put him in a coma for 8 weeks.
And something about being in a car that makes you simultaneously invincible and helpless.
Few know this better than Danielle Rosanova from Toronto. Three men beat him for a bad lane change.
They were on me before I knew it. I was striking back. They were striking me.
So maybe it's not just that I'm this really angry person. Maybe there's something about these situations that we keep finding ourselves in more and more, traffic, travel, that pushes our buttons. I needed to check in with an expert on anger and road rage.
I'll store it, take it home, take it somewhere, and release it where it's not disturbing other people. Because there's usually something in the area that I can destroy. And if I can do that discreetly without disturbing others, I'll take that route.
I'm here at York University to talk to Professor David Wiesenthal. He's a psychology professor here at York. David, everybody gets angry. What in conditions of, for instance, road rage causes people to flip over into this out-of-control rage?
Well, in Toronto at least, we have seen a tremendous increase in the number of vehicles using the road, so that there are a lot of people competing for very little space, and this has made commuting times much more difficult for people. And the 15 to 20 minute commute now can be an hour and a half or 2 hours in certain days. So this has made people much more stressed.
Do you see conditions of that kind of stress and difficulty managing anger in other aspects of our daily life other than on the roads?
Well, I think people are encountering situations where they feel possibly out of control, that they have no effective way of dealing with the situation. A bank machine might eat up someone's bank card. A car might not start in the morning. Someone might not be able to get to daycare in time. So we have more of these time-pressured concerns possibly now than we had in the past, and we may not feel that we're always able to deal effectively with them. Things are out of our control.
We all recognize that feeling of not having control over a situation provoking anger. Do you think those situations are becoming more frequent, or is that something that we've always had to deal with in life?
Well, I think we've always had to deal with them, but now we're more dependent upon technologies for our everyday life that we didn't have to before. And when they don't function, or they don't function as we expect them to, we feel quite helpless and frustrated.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Professor David Wiesenthal is a psychology professor at York University. You're listening to the Seven Deadly Sins series on Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm your companion in sin, Nora Young, and this week we're looking at anger here in a downtown gym. I think David's got the key to our modern sense of anger. We're constantly in situations where we feel that we don't have control, where we're helplessly stuck in traffic, literally or metaphorically.
That's the thing about our technological modern life. Anger used to be functional. Thousands of years ago, you steal my stash of nuts and berries, I get angry, the adrenaline's pumping, I pop you on right in the kisser. There, problem solved, I've got my nuts and berries back. But today, where does anger get you? You can get angry all you want, but most of the time, it isn't going to help you at all. That's technology for you, there are no humans involved. Like, listen to this recording and see if it sounds just a little familiar.
Welcome to Bell. Bienvenue chez Bell. For English instructions, press 1. Please enter the area code and telephone number you're calling about. Bell has new competitive domestic and overseas long-distance rates that meet our customers' calling needs. To get more information on these great rates, press 6. From the main menu, please select one of the following 4 options. For all changes to your telephone service, or to get information on any of our products, press 1. For billing and payment inquiries, press 2. For all other inquiries, press 4. Select one of the following 6 options. For help on how to use smart touch services like call waiting, press 1. To learn how to avoid unwanted calls, press 2. For questions about your current Bell Simpatico, Bell Mobility, or Bell Express U services or accounts, press 4. Select one of the following 4 options.
Oh!
For Simpatico, press 1. For Mobility, press 2. Your call is being transferred.
Bienvenue au service Internet Simpatico Bell.
Welcome to Bell Simpatico Internet Service. For service in English, please press 2 now.
Didn't I just do this?
If you are a current dial-up Simpatico customer calling for billing or technical assistance, please press 1. If you are a current Simpatico high-speed customer calling for billing or technical assistance, please press 2. Please enter the area code and telephone number registered with your Simpatico account, then press pound.
Didn't I do this already too?
You have 5 options.
For
the status of your Simpatico high-speed edition order, press 1. For technical support, press 3. To obtain your Simpatico local access dial-up telephone number, press 4. You have 5 options. To obtain your Simpatico password, press 2. To listen to self-serve technical quick tips, press 3. To talk to a technical support agent, press 4.
Yes, that's what I want.
Please hold while we transfer your call.
Please enter your Simpatico PIN number.
Oh my God!
If you are experiencing difficulties locating your Simpatico PIN number, please refer to the top left-hand corner of your Simpatico bill statement. Thank you. Please wait while we transfer you to an agent.
I'm waiting.
Thank you for calling Simpatico. My name is Simon and I'm helping you.
A human being, at last. Well, anger has always been with us, but I think our particular contemporary twist on anger is our rage at technology. Voicemail, computer crashes, technical systems too, like bureaucracy and traffic flow. I went to talk to Mark Morley to help me puzzle through just why technology is so infuriating.
Dad, I'm no fan of Bart's cartoon, but you have a real problem with anger.
I'm just passionate, like all us Greeks.
No, you're angry. Look, you're punching the cat right now.
Oh, I am. Oh my God, you're right. I'm a rageaholic.
Well, I'm here to meet Mark Morley in a pool hall in Waterloo, actually. Mark Morley teaches at the Center for Society, Technology, and Values at the University of Waterloo. Hi there, Mark.
Hi, Nora.
So, earlier on, when I was in voicemail hell, I was getting so frustrated and so angry. Is there something about, in particular about technology that has this power to set us off into a blind rage?
I think that the particular kind of technology you are using comes with certain expectations, that we've created technologies that put us in control of our environment, of our natural environment, our surroundings, or of a situation. And when those expectations aren't met, then I think we feel a sort of vengeance.
Okay, but people have been using tools for an awfully long time, and I guess they've been getting angry, but it seems like things are worse now in 21st century Canada. Like, we seem to fall into these apoplectic rages about technology.
Well, you mentioned the word tools, and here's where I would make an important distinction between tools like this pool cue and tools which I would call devices, like the voicemail, pushing of the buttons. When we use tools in what I would consider the proper sense of the word to solve practical problems, the expectation is that if something does go wrong, it's okay, because then I can improve upon my skill. I can learn from this. I can improve my know-how. Whereas when you use these devices, what we don't realize is that in order for them, in a sense, to take control, we also have to relinquish our own agency, our own skill, and the satisfaction that comes with exercising that.
So how does this relate to playing pool?
Well, see, I think that when you picked up the phone and you tried to use the voicemail, you saw yourself being in this world where what I would call agency and causality come together, where using the pool cue, you expect that when you line up the shot, that you're going to be able to say, okay, I'm going to hit the ball and get it in. Well, okay, I did get a ball in, but it wasn't the ball that I intended to get in. And this is where my agency comes in. I had certain intentions there, but once I hit the ball, the billiard balls are knocked around in such a way that causality sort of takes over. With tool use, you can get something moving with your tools, and like I said, if it doesn't go quite the way you expected, then you refine your craft, your skill. But with the voicemail, you weren't actually using a tool, you were using a device. And if you were using the voicemail equivalent of the pool cue, it would be an automated device. In fact, what we would do is we would probably place it down here on the pool table, and there would be some buttons on it in which you would push for which ball you wanted to get into which pocket.
So, on the one hand, the ideology of technology tells us you're in the driver's seat, but on the other hand, as we use more devices, things like computers and voicemail and stuff, we really don't have control at all. But where do you think this leaves us as we seem to be getting more and more devices all the time?
I think the distinction between the tool and device becomes even more important, because when we're thinking about actual tools, we have to think about how we use them. There's a right and a wrong way. But when it comes to devices, the question isn't how we use them, but I think how much and when is it appropriate to use them. I mean, we might then rage against the machine, or we may then think of ourselves as being incompetent and that somehow we'll improve, which might be futile in the sense that we're not able to exercise agency anyways. But in both those cases, the anger comes from the expectation to be in control. And I think we have to let go of that expectation.
Mark, we're at the end of the anger episode. I've rather embarrassingly demonstrated that I have a very short temper. Do you have any advice for me on dealing with my anger if I'm going to have to go through the foreseeable future using all these devices?
Well, yes. I mean, that's the kind of world that we live in. This is where we get caught, too. We come home and we think that we need some time, we need some space, we need to collect ourselves. And so what we might do is we might pop a frozen dinner in the microwave, thinking that we'll gain some time to sit around and maybe watch television. But maybe what we should be thinking about doing is taking that whole time to open a drawer, pull out the vegetable peeler, the knife, start to prepare a meal, and eat it, which would probably take up the whole amount of time of the microwave and television watching, but you would have much more satisfaction, I think, in your relationship with your environment.
Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nora.
Mark Morley teaches at the Center for Society, Technology, and Values at the University of Waterloo. So our modern spin on anger is how often it expresses itself against our devices, button-pushing technologies like computers that don't let us exercise our responsibility. But learning to relinquish that desire for control that lies at the root of anger,
that's more difficult. Modern life in Canada is predicated on the myth that we're in control. Not only is more technology and a faster modem supposed to give you control, the values our society promotes are all about it. The self-made person, writing your own ticket, getting other people to do what you want, giving in, submitting, walking away. We treat these like secular sins in 2002. Until we stop needing to control everything around us, we might all have some anger issues. Well, that's it for this episode. Next week, envy. Hey, Mark, you want to shoot some stick?
Yes. Okay, red ball, corner pocket.
Oh, no. Get the mic there.
The Seven Deadly Sins, produced by Andrew Kaufman, Nora Young, and Doug Holmes. And for more information on the sins, go to cbc.ca/7, as in the numeral, 7 deadly.